Testament, the book of Judges, chapter 1. Judges, chapter 1. This morning we were talking from the story of the siege against Samaria and how that the Lord can work and move if we're willing to step forward in faith. And even out of our weakness and out of our need, God can bring a victory. Amen. And I don't know what you're up against. I don't know your needs here tonight, but we're going to look at this from a completely different perspective here tonight in the book of Judges chapter 1. And another Old Testament story that we're going to, I believe, glean some wonderful truths from here. We're going to read here beginning with verse number 8, Judges chapter 1 and verse number 8. And actually, this same account or similar account is in the book of Joshua chapter 15, verses 13 through 19. But let's read here beginning with verse number 8. Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it and smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain and in the south and in the valley. And Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. And they slew Sheshai and Ahiam and Talmai. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. Some really great names here. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, to wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass when she came to him that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, "What wilt thou?" What he was really saying, this was her dad saying, "What do you want? What do you want?" And she said unto him, "Give me a blessing. Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Hallelujah. Now this will be a good Father's Day message as well. But just a few minutes, I want to talk to you about this young lady and her request of her father. "Give me a blessing. Give me a blessing." Now, you remember Caleb and the kind of personality and character that Caleb was. Now he is 85 years old, but 45 years before, him and Joshua are the only two that saw the possibility of victory in the promised land. Everybody else, their heart had melted. They heard the evil report. They just couldn't believe that God could give it to them. And so Caleb and Joshua, they had to wander around the wilderness with the rest of the unbelievers all of those years. But the interesting thing is that Caleb says later, he says, "Now, I want you to remember," this is in Joshua 14, "I want you to remember that Moses, the man of God, what he said concerning me at Kadesh Barnea," which was there at the border. "I want you to remember what he said." Verse 7, he says, 40 years was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, 'Surely the land whereon thy feet came have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years." So now he's 85 years old. Even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in that day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how that the Anakims were there, the giants, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. 45 years have passed by, and he is still just as anxious and just as determined to get a hold of the promise that was promised to him all those years before. I wanted to read that to you for you to kind of just kind of remember the kind of nature that Caleb had, the kind of spirit that he had, and he was forward enough with Moses that whenever, even though that the promised land wasn't going to be his at that particular time, he was still saying, I want you to remember Moses promised this to me and I still want it. And you notice that he says, give it to me. Give me this mountain. Now, his daughter, Oxal, she's chip off the old block. She's the same. She's the same as her dad. Let me tell you. Now, if you don't have a dad that's like this, you do have a heavenly father that's like this. Amen. Amen. I had a good dad. I was just thinking about him today, and it's almost been 12 years since he's been gone. I can't believe that it's been that many years. My dad was quiet. He was timid. He didn't have a lot of words to say. I would say there were a lot of evenings that he said nothing. I mean, he was just so to himself. But he was strong. He was strong. He was strong with me and my two brothers. And he let us know that, you know, if we were going to have things, we're going to have to work to get them. There wasn't going to be no handouts. We were going to have to work. And he would encourage us along. I mean, I could mow the yards and he'd provide the lawnmower, but I had to buy my own gas. And it was just his way. He would just, and I'm thankful for that, to teach some responsibility. But I have to tell you this about my dad, and I think this is pretty much the way it is with most dads. And that is that I could go to my dad, and it took a lot of courage for me to do it because I knew how he was. But there were a few times down through the years that I had to go to him and say, Dad, this is something I need. I need this. And my dad would take care of it. He would take care of it. He knew I wasn't going to take advantage of him. He knew that I knew better than that. And I wasn't going to get by with that. But if I came to him with a legitimate need, he was going to help me. That's a dad. That's fathers. That's what fathers do. And I've got daughters and a son. And if they come to me and say, Dad, this is what I need. And they really need it. And it's in my power to provide it. That's what dads do. And that's the truth, isn't it? Now, so here's Caleb. He's 85 years old. Here's his daughter. And he says, I want this area completely. I want to be able to take the promise and all of this land and all this territory that was promised to me. And so I don't exactly know exactly all the reasons why that he did it the way that he did. But he just put out this plea. And he just said, if one of you brave soldiers can go in and can take this territory, then I'm going to give you my daughter as a prize. This was his way of giving it to her. He said, you go and you win it. Save me the fight. And then I'm going to give it to her, really. That's really what he wanted to do. And so Othniel, who actually became the first of the judges, Othniel, he got, you know, it doesn't, there's no break there at all. There's no, extra time involved here. It just simply says he took it. So apparently he had interest in his daughter. And so he just went in and he took the possession and defeated the inhabitants of that area. And now they have this area that was more or less the lowlands. It was more dry country. And it was theirs to possess. But she first speaks to her new husband and says, let's make an appeal to him. Let's go to him and let's ask him. And so when he goes to her dad, as soon as she gets off of the animal, she says, give me a blessing. Give me a blessing. Now, I can't help but believe that this didn't ring true in the heart of Caleb. He remembered 45 years before, and he understood that he had been promised this land to him and to his children. And so now when he's not upset at all about his daughter that's coming to him to say, I want a blessing from you. I want you to give me not what I deserve, but I want you to give me something that I desire, something that I want. I just want to remind you here tonight in this service that's the nature of our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. That's the nature of our Heavenly Father. I said earlier in this service, we have not because we ask not. And I do believe that there's a lot of times that we kind of grovel in our problems and our trouble, and we go through all of these circumstances when really what God is wanting us to do is just come to Him and say, would you bless me? I really don't deserve it, but I'm your child. Would you bless me? Would you give to me what I'm desiring? Oh, and the Lord, He's a God who gives good gifts to His children. Amen. Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? Amen. Amen.
I'm really backward about asking for things. I'm not as bad as I used to be. I've had a lot more practice at it. I'm not backward about asking for offerings for people. I'm not backward about getting up and taking a missions offering or asking people to give to the work of God in any respect. But it's a little tough if it's... I've heard preachers get up and take up their own offerings and say, I need $100 and $200 and $300. Come on now, I need $1,000 tonight to keep me. And I don't know, I just never got used to that. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to get used to it. And when we came here 18 years ago, I remember sitting with the brothers and just saying, listen, they kept saying, well, how much did your other church pay you? And let's don't get into all that. Please, let's don't do that. Let's just, you just do what you can do. You just do what you can do, what you feel is right and what is the right thing to do. Let's just do that and let's move on to some other stuff. I really didn't want to spend a lot of time talking about it, but I have to, that's kind of my nature somewhat, but I have to say that really, I think I miss out a lot of times on some of the things that God wants to do for me because I'm not willing to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I just need you to help me. I need you to bless me. I need you to provide for me and to bless my life. I don't know. Do you ever pray and ask God to give you blessings, to bless your life? Now, if you're going to do that, then it's not because you deserve it. It's just because you know that God is a God who cares about you and you are His child and He takes delight in giving to you. Amen. He takes delight in giving to you. Now, not if you're going to be selfish and all, you know, wrapped up in your own life and your own needs. But it's all right to ask God, Lord, would you give me a blessing? Now, what she was asking for specifically was, she was saying, you've given me the Southland, more dry country. Would you give me also springs of water? Amen. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. He gave to her the higher springs and the lower springs. He gave it all to her. All the water of that territory, that area, he just gave it to her. Amen. Amen. Now, you know, land without water is not worth very much. And it certainly wasn't true if you're going to have animals and cattle and things of that sort that are going to be dependent upon the water. But he is
You know, what she asked for was, give me springs, and he gave her all of it. The upper and the lower. He just said, here, it's all yours. You just have asked for me to bless you, and I'm going to bless you real good. I'm going to give it all to you. Praise God. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, when you read through the text and actually go back to the book of Joshua and read the same account, you'll read that there was like 135 different cities and villages and areas of groups of people, and all of them were dependent upon the water of that area. And it says that this was that inheritance. This was the inheritance that he gave to her, but she understood that if you're really going to be blessed, the only way that you can really enjoy your blessing is if you share it with somebody else. Amen. Amen. If you're blessed and it's just all for you and for your needs and it's all wrapped up in your life and your circumstance, then you're really not going to receive the full benefit of that blessing. The real blessing comes from asking God. And when God pours out upon you more than you could ever imagine, that you understand that he does that because he wants you to be a channel to bless, to help, to minister, to encourage. And she was the one that was going to control the water, but she was going to give it to all of those cities in the mountains and in the plains. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what she did. She gave it all to them, to all of those in that. Let me read it to you in case you think I'm making this up. Joshua 15, I think it is. In verse 19, she says, it's the same story. In verse 19, she says, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Verse 20, this is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. And that it lists them all of those cities and all of those families and all of that tribe. This was the inheritance that they all had, and it all came through her because she was willing to say, would you give me a blessing? Would you give me a blessing? Hallelujah. And for the saints of God, for you and me here tonight, there's nothing wrong with us asking God to bless us if we're willing. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about in so many different ways. But if God pours out his blessing upon you in whatever way that he does that so that you can enjoy it and you can share it with all of those that God gives you an opportunity to share with. Why do you think that you were given the gospel? Why do you think that you were saved? Just so that you could spend the rest of your life enjoying Jesus and going to church and having a wonderful time? That's just not true. You were given the gospel so that you could be a dispensation of the gospel. You were given the truth so you could share the truth and you could preach it and proclaim it to your family, to your loved ones, to your neighbors, and everywhere that you go, God's blessed you so that you'll be a blessing. Amen. That was the problem that was the promise to the children of Israel that he had told them. He said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to cause you to be a blessing. I'm going to make you to be a blessing. So whenever you ask the Lord to bless you, remember that God will bless and he will provide what you're asking for. And for her, it was all of the water. It was all that was in that entire territory. But immediately she understood that that was an inheritance for all of Judah and for all of the cities and all of the people of that area. Praise God. Amen. So the church needs to be asking the Lord, just like Caleb did. Caleb said, give me this mountain. I'm not satisfied until I get possession of this mountain. I'm going to go in and I'm going to defeat those giants and I'm going to defeat. And he had been for 45 years looking forward to, anxiously awaiting the day when he was going to go in and take possession of what God had promised to him. And finally the day came and he says, I'm just as strong as I was 45 years ago. I'm just as capable for fighting and for war and for whatever it takes to go in and to take this possession. That was the nature of Caleb. I mean, he was a getter, a go-getter. He was pursuing after the promise of God. And that's exactly the kind of daughter that he had. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand that God wants to bless your life? Amen. Too often times, you know, we think, oh, that's what the charismatics say. That's what the, you know, that's what the, you know, other, you know, prosperity people say today. God wants to bless your life. It's just, it's biblical. God blesses his people. God blesses his people. Not for you to be selfish. Not that you can have, you know, all these possessions that are not even necessary, but he blesses you because he wants you to be that channel and that vessel that can be used of the Lord to bless everyone that you come in contact with. Praise God. Amen. What a wonderful blessing that is. So I just encourage you, be bold. Be courageous. Go right into the throne room of God and ask the Lord. Amen. Ask the Lord, Lord, I want this blessing. I want you to bless me in this particular area because I want to be able to advance in this area the work of the kingdom. I want to be able to touch the lives of many people for your glory. And God will bless you if your motives are right. God will bless you if you come to the Lord sincerely. He's your heavenly Father. And soon as he hears your sincere and honest appeal, that's how quick that Caleb said, okay, it's yours. It's yours. I'll take care of it. It's yours. You just asked me for it, and now it's yours. You're in control. The whole region, you're in control. No doubt that's why Othniel became the first judge. He was a power guy and had influence, and God had set it up just because that she had said, I want you to bless me. I want you to bless me. And, you know, you can find this kind of a theme all through the scripture. But I really wanted to give just a little bit more time to the kind of blessing that she received. It was water. It was water. And all through the scripture, you see the wonderful provision that God has given to his people through water. Amen. The children of Israel marched across that and spent all those years in the wilderness, dry and barren. But everywhere they went, there's a scripture, and I don't think I have it here in my notes here, but there's a scripture that talks about that rock followed them. That rock followed them. Now, that doesn't mean there was an actual rock following them. It just simply means that rock that the water gushed forth out of, that everywhere that they went, the same miraculous power was with them, and God was supplying for them everywhere that they went. The food that they needed, the water that they needed, preserving their clothes and their shoes, and God was with them and he was blessing them, and because they were his children. And that's who he is. Isaiah 48 verse 21, and they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There was a spring way down in the depths, and even in that dry place, God caused the spring to come forth and to supply for them in the most dry and barren situations. I think we can all identify with this. We're in a very dry, barren situation in our world today, in our country. It's ridiculous how far from God and how far removed we are from all of the wonderful things that God has for us. But do you know that right out here in the midst of this spiritual desert called the United States of America, right out here in the middle of all of this, this rebellion and hatred toward God and just spiritual desert, hopelessness all around us, that rock will follow the people of God and it'll gush forth. That wonderful provision of God will gush forth wherever that you might find yourself. 1 Corinthians 10:4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. I did have it in my notes. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So there is a blessing and a provision for the people of God if we'll just ask him. Just ask the Lord and understand that really there's no greater symbolism in the scripture than water to describe the presence of God and the Spirit of God. All that God provides for his people by his Holy Spirit. Praise God. Are you willing to ask God, give me
bless me? God, would you bless me? Lord, would you bless me? Amen. Glory to God. And I want you to know that God will move for you if you come sincerely and your desire is to be a vessel, to be used of the Lord. John chapter 7 and verse 37, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know, a natural spring, it's pretty wonderful and pretty mysterious, isn't it? We used to go when I was a kid to a place about an hour away to swim out there in Oklahoma, and the name of the creek was Spring Creek. And the reason it was because all along from the very beginning of it, and I went to the actual head of that creek, and there's a big hillside there, and out of the bottom of that was this spring that was just gushing out, like it was under water pressure. It was coming deep, and you could be out there in 90 degree, maybe 100 degree Oklahoma, absolutely 100 degree temperatures, and you could step into that water, and it would absolutely shock you. It was so cold. It was ice water. And it would take you, kids were determined, like myself and my brothers, we were determined to stay in the water because we were there for swimming purposes. And we would get into that cold water, and it'd take us a while. We shivered for the first half hour until we kind of got used to the water, but it was just a natural spring of cold water coming out of the depths of the sea, or the depths of the earth. Amen. Not the sea, a long way from the sea in Oklahoma. Amen. The psalmist said at Psalm 87, all my springs are in thee. Isn't that a wonderful verse? All of my springs are in thee. Lord, you're the one. As I walk with you and get closer to you and develop my close relationship with you, Lord, that I just enjoy the blessing of God, the provision of the Lord in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. It's coming up out of the ground. It's mysterious. But there it is. It just so wonderful, so refreshing, so pure and so clean and so just such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And David said, all of my springs are in thee. Hallelujah. Amen. I turn to you, Lord. I turn to you, and you're the one that's always providing and always ministering. Isaiah 41, and there's many, many other scriptures that I could read here tonight. Psalm 41 and 17, when the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, shall not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. That's what was going on for Oxaw. And I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. That's the wonderful provision of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is how God will provide. I was reading about a caravan that was traveling across a desert land, and they knew where the watering places were. But when they came to them, they were surprised after a day or two's journey that all of the wells, all of the springs were all dried up. There was no water. And so there they are, out in the middle of a wilderness, not knowing what to do. They spend all their evening traveling around, trying to find the water. But this caravan, someone in the caravan had captured a couple of young deer. And they were taking them home to their family or whatever. But they were alive. And so there was an old gentleman that was in the group. It's always an old guy that gives the wisdom, you know. And he said, what you need to do is take those young deer that you've captured, and you need to take them out on the edge of the camp, and you need to set them free. And you need to get your fastest horse and rider to follow them So they took those little deer out to the edge of the camp, and immediately, even though their tongues are hanging out, their nose is sensitive, and they're thirsty. And as soon as they let them go, they're gone, out of sight. And they're chasing them and chasing them. They're gone for a couple of hours. And finally, they hear the noise of the riders coming back. And they're rejoicing. And they're saying, we found the water. We found the water supply. The deer had led them to it. Amen. I think what we need is just a little bit more sensitivity to the things of God. And a desire for the things of God. You know why we don't desire the things of God? Because we've filled up our hearts and our minds with so many other things. Our lives have got so wrapped up in our things and our possessions, and our schedules are so full, and there's hardly any time at all for God. We've pushed Him aside, and we wonder why that we're in this dry and barren place. But the Lord can help you, and He can help me to develop a thirst and a desire for the things of God. When you have that desire, then you can ask Him, God, bless me, bless me. I don't know about you, but I ask the Lord to bless me, to bless my family, to bless my grandchildren. I pray that God will give every one of my grandchildren a genuine, real salvation experience. Every one of them. Amen. That God will move in my family and bless my family with spiritual blessings. And I pray for you, and I pray for this church. All the time, I call on the Lord, and I know you do the same thing. And there's a lot of times that I've prayed the prayer, Lord, would you bless our church? Lord, don't bless us just so that we'll have a name, but bless us, Lord, so that we can be used of you. And Lord, you provide what we need so that we can expand the work of the kingdom of God, and we can spread the gospel, and we can see many more come into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. It's okay. I give you permission, and I know that the Lord gives you permission to ask the Lord to bless you. Amen. Amen. Jabez did that. We could go into all that big prayer of Jabez. And that's what he asked to. Bless me. Bless me indeed. That's what he said. Bless me. Amen. Expand my borders. Bless me. Give me more opportunity. And Jabez came from a terrible background and a hopelessness, but he just said, bless me, provide for me, give me what I'm asking for and what I need so that I can bless and be used of God. We don't know much about his life. We just know he was blessed to be a blessing. And let me tell you, the most wonderful thing about the church is that God positions us, the people of God, so that we can have an impact and an influence on our community and on our world. And if we cease to do that, then we're going to cease to have God's blessing upon our life. Amen. If we're going to be wrapped up in ourselves, the reason why that we want to expand and grow the missions program and the outreach of the church is not because we want to give all the money to foreign fields. We understand, and I think all of you agree and understand, that really the hope of the world is Jesus Christ. And we want to be a part of spreading the gospel all over the world. And we know we have a commission and a responsibility to do that. So it's okay to say, God, would you bless us? Every year at Missions Conference, I stand back in amazement as how God provides. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars comes in. And many of you are giving sacrificially and wonderful things, like buying a car. How wonderful is that? Amen. Bought a car for a missionary this year. I was just thrilled that God could help us to be able to do something like that, to meet a real need. And God blesses. Let me assure you of this, on the authority of God's word, if we keep our priorities straight, then you can expect and believe that God will bless you and He will bless our church. Amen. Keep your priorities straight and God will bless you. And it's okay to ask God to bless you. Amen. Get a little bit of that forceful, forward nature that Caleb and his daughter had. And just say, bless me. Caleb said, I want the mountain. I want that mountain. I'm determined. And the first time that she has the opportunity, she's saying, I want to be blessed too, Daddy. I want to be blessed too. I want the same kind of blessing. And all of us have a Heavenly Father that we can ask Him to bless our lives, bless our work, bless our ministry, bless our influence for the kingdom's sake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm encouraged by these different ones that were baptized the other night. And I want to encourage you. Just want to give you just a little word as we're closing here tonight. You've started off on a life of blessing. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be problems. But it does mean that you're living in a whole new world now. You're in a world where you can go to your Heavenly Father and you can ask Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can ask Him, bless me, bless me. Move in my life, move in my needs. And I want you to know that you're in good standing with your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ in His shed blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you can stand before Him and say, you're my Heavenly Father. This is what I need. This is what I desire. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's stand, everybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Lord, that you are a God that will bless your people. And I thank you for that. And I just pray, Lord, for those among us here tonight in this service that they've been a little backward about asking for your help, asking for your blessing. And Lord, I just pray that our hearts would be encouraged here tonight to know that you desire to use us. And you want to bless your people. Hallelujah. You want to bless your children. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord.